Jesus. God, we pray your spirit would move, God. Touch our kids tonight at NAYC, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost, I pray, do a mighty work, God. Keep your hand upon them, I pray, Lord. Touch VBS tonight, Lord. Touch our kids, God. Touch our leaders, God. Touch our teachers, God. Let the Holy Ghost move tonight, God. Touch this service, I pray, Lord. Anoint Brother Kelso to preach the word tonight in the name of Jesus. You deserve all the glory tonight, God. Move among us in Jesus' name. Put your hands together and give God praise tonight. Let's sing this old song tonight.
Hallelujah.
Us, even though we have cruddy days and bad days, he's so good to his people, and it's so good to know a God who loves us in spite of. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Do want our ushers to please come tonight to receive our Wednesday evening tithe and offering. Just a few announcements tonight. Don't forget this coming Sunday, 1:10 a.m. service starting the month of August. We'll start back to our normal 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. services, but this is our last Sunday of the month. And Brother John Proctor is going to be preaching for us in that AM service. And this concludes our Freedom Month. And I felt to have him preach for us here several weeks ago. And I believe God wants to help us and speak to us. Amen. Also, following that July 27th service is a nacho luncheon. And that'll be happening over in the R.L. Meyer Center. And it's $6 per person. Kids under 3 eat free. And there is a sheet in the foyer to sign up if you've not signed up for that. Looking forward to that. Also that day is our mission pledge that's due. And also on July the 28th, that's on that Monday night, is Ladies United Fellowship headed by Sister Candy. That's going to be at Golden China at 6 p.m. And our very own Sister Dot is going to be speaking. Looking forward to that for our ladies. That'll be a great night. Thank God for that. Everybody said prayer. Amen. August 5th through the 25th. Is 21 days of prayer, and we'll put some information in your hands and how we'll go about doing that for 21 days. The end of the month of August, we start revival with Evangelist Jonathan Whittemore, who preached for us Pentecost Sunday, and believe God's going to do a great work here at the end of August. I do want to mention this. I didn't mention this on August the 3rd. Also, here several weeks ago, I talked to you about us being a help to those in Central Texas where all the floods has devastated that area. There's an organization called Reach Out America that is a sponsored organization by the UPCI, and 100% of anything that's ever given to that goes towards this flood, this aftermath of the flood. And so we're taking an offering up on August the 3rd. If you want to give towards that, that'll be a blessing to those folks in Central Texas. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. We ask you to bless this offering, God. Bless this service, God. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. God's going to speak to us in a special way. Man, if you are not here, I said it Sunday, not just saying this. I know our live stream was messed up last month when he preached that powerful word at the door. But if they recorded that, that's a message you need to hear. What a word it was that night. And I believe God's going to speak to us tonight. Amen. Welcome to the Kelso as he comes tonight. God's going to bless us, speak to us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight because he's worthy? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a Wednesday night. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Pastor, thank you so much for this opportunity. Amen. To stand behind this desk of responsibility. Praise the Lord. Always an honor. Praise the Lord. I don't want to keep you all night. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to direct your attention to the book of John, chapter number 11. Praise the Lord. The book of John, chapter number 11, I'm going to kind of move around here just a little bit. Book of John, chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. His brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Skip over to verse number 11. The Bible said, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto him, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Skip over to verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." But Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." Somebody say he stinketh. "For he has been dead 4 days." But verse 43 says, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin." My text will come here tonight. The Bible says in verse number 44, the last part, "Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." If we can, let's lay our Bibles down tonight and ask the Lord to have his way in this service. Can we, God? I'm so thankful for the opportunity, God, to be able to stand in your presence. God, I ask the Lord that I can be a willing and able servant for you, God. I pray, Lord, that I can walk after your anointing tonight, God. I pray, Lord, I submit my tongue to your authority, God. I pray that you would have your way in this service tonight, God, that your word would go forth, not my will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord tonight. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. The book of John, we find that Jesus, just prior to the book of John, we find Jesus and he is talking about the voice of the shepherd and how the sheep know and how they understand his voice when he speaks, and how that the true shepherd only enters in at the door, and we know that the watchman of the wall only allows the true shepherd into the sheep pen, and those that will try to thieve and steal, they want to find another way in, amen. But the Bible says that his sheep know his voice. And so the Lord's talking to the disciples, and we find here, we arrive at John chapter number 11. And the Bible says that a message somehow gets to Jesus that Lazarus has fallen sick. Amen. And as we read the text tonight, we find that Lazarus was somebody that Jesus loved very dearly. It was somebody that he held close to his heart. And the Bible says that he was talking amongst the disciples and said that we must go to him. We have got to go where he is. I've got to be where he is. Amen. And the Bible said that his disciples were all excited. Amen. And they were all ready to go. And the Bible says that Jesus began to wait, that he waited in the place where he was for 2 days. Amen. You ever pray about something and you want God to show up right now, right then, because it's the most desperate situation that you've ever been in? I don't know about you, but death seems like a pretty major situation, a pretty dire situation. And we read that Jesus held off his coming to where Lazarus was for 2 days. But there was a purpose, amen, that Jesus was trying. There was a point that Jesus was trying to prove, amen. I thank God tonight, praise the Lord, that even though whenever we pray and we ask God, it don't matter how much we fasted, it don't matter how much we've prayed, amen, sometimes we feel like God is not answering our prayers on time. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that your blessing, praise God, it is on the way. I promise you, it is on the way. It may be delayed, but it's not deleted, amen. It's still on the way. The Bible said Jesus waited 2 days before he started making his way to where Lazarus was. And at this time, Jesus is starting to talk to his disciples, and he's simply telling them, amen, well, Lazarus is only sleeping. But in reality, what he was telling them was, they were like, well, Jesus, if Lazarus is only sleeping, then surely we can take our time and not really rush, and maybe we can go and just wake him up. And Jesus had to clarify to them and say, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. I can remember back times whenever we called on many 911 calls, and when we enter into a residence and I take my life pack in, and I've seen the patient that we've been called on, and just one look at them and you know that there is no life present in them, and now you have to break the news to the family, and you, amen, you know as a clinician that there is no hope, amen, that there is no life there. And so Jesus himself knew in his mind that there was no life in Lazarus. The Bible says that finally Jesus began to make his way to where Lazarus was, and the Bible says that while they were on the way, they began to talk, and Jesus began to become sad, because I can imagine he was beginning to think about the many memories of Lazarus. And the Bible says that when he just made his way just a little way off, the Bible says that Martha met him in the middle of the road. And the Bible simply said that she said, Lord, if you would have been here just a little bit sooner, had you not have waited, then my brother would still be alive today. But the Bible doesn't stop there, because the Bible says that Martha said, but even now, I know who you are, and I know if you will call upon the name of the Lord, whatever soever that you ask, it will be done. I'm so thankful tonight, amen, that sometimes when we're in a state of death, I'm so thankful that God doesn't give up on us. I'm so thankful, praise God, that we've got people that pray for us and they still don't give up on us. Amen. Maybe we might be in a situation where it seems like there's no hope, but I'm so thankful that somebody still calls my name out in prayer every single opportunity that they get. Even now, Lord, I know that whatsoever things, if you'll call, whatsoever things ye ask, I know that it could still happen. I know that there's still hope, Lord. I know that even now there's still a glimmer of hope. The Bible says that they went a little further, and Martha, she secretly left the side of Jesus and made her way back to the house where, because now it had been 4 days, and so now it's an official ceremony. Now everybody has officially gathered at the house, and there is a funeral, there is a mourning going on. Everybody is, they're talking about the memories of Lazarus, and there's weeping and there's crying going on, because now he's been dead for 4 days. The Bible says that Martha made her way to the house and secretly called for Mary. Hey, come on out of here. And so the Bible says that the people in the house, they saw her secretly as she left the house and said, well, maybe she's going to the graveside. Maybe she's going to mourn. But the Bible says that when the people walked outside and seen who had arrived on scene, I can imagine that there were some facial expressions, because I know that there were some people on scene that knew who Jesus was and what he represented. Jesus simply asked Martha, where have you laid him? Where have you put him? I've got to go and be where he is. The Bible says that they made their way to the tomb, and Jesus began to weep within himself. He has now drawn a man because he is so sad, because now there is a reality that the flesh is dead. But Jesus knows in his heart that there's still hope. Amen. Because Jesus looks at Martha and said, it's time to remove the stone. It's time to move back the stone. It's time to roll away the stone. But the Bible says that Martha looked at him and said, Lord, it's been 4 days. I want you to get that in your mind, that it's been 4 days now. Lord, there's no hope, because now he stinks. I don't know about y'all, but have you ever been walking through the woods and you see something driving on the side of the road on a warm day, and you got your windows rolled down, you see something that's been dead for a while, and you hit that old smell hit you? I'm going to tell you something, it don't smell good. Even if you got your windows rolled up, if they've been dead long enough, you can still smell them. So now Jesus is—he's—they're talking about the stench. They're talking about how it's so that Lazarus is so far gone now that he's starting to stink. But I am so glad, because as I continue to read this text, that Jesus is not bothered by the smell. Jesus said, "I said to roll away the stone." And the Bible says that it is at this time, whenever Jesus stands there in front of this tomb and he calls out to Lazarus by name, amen, and tells him to come forth. And we find here that this is where Lazarus makes his way out of the tomb. But the Bible says that he is wrapped in grave clothes and that there is a napkin around his face. And so Jesus instructs those who are beside him. He said, I want you to go to him, to loose him and to let him go. When I was reading this text, amen, this week it was on my mind. And I began to think about us in our walk with God, that it doesn't matter how many years we've been going to church, that sometimes every now and then a saint of God becomes sick in their spirit. And sometimes we have to reach to a point to where maybe we can't hear the voice of God anymore. And suddenly our spiritual pulse grows weak. We make our way into the house of God and it seems like that we just can't feel the Spirit of God like we used to. Or maybe we can't hear the voice of God like we used to. And then, amen, well, it starts, rumors start, oh, hey, they're kind of getting away from the Spirit of God, amen. I don't know how long they're going to be in church. I don't know how much longer they're going to be with us. And so then the time where they spiritually expire, amen. But I've come to tell you tonight that Jesus is still on the throne. And it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It does not matter, amen, how far away that we've gone from God. God's still on the throne. And he said, I don't care how bad they stink. I don't care how far away that they've walked from me. I've got a rock that I'm about to move, and I'm about to call their name, and I'm going to call them up to their purpose. I don't care how long that we've been going to church, and I know, because I've been there. Praise God, you get to that point to where you get so weak that you can't even lift your hand anymore, or you can't even clap, and then your voice leaves and you can't even open your mouth, amen. And then all of a sudden, 4 days passed. And now everybody's talking about your spiritual death. Man, you remember when Brother So-and-so used to run them aisles? You remember when Sister So-and-so used to shout so hard she shouted all her bobby pins down? You remember, amen, I remember when old Brother So-and-so would let out that old Holy Ghost holler in the back corner. Used to send chills all up and down my spine. But man, those days are long gone. Praise God, they're out of here. It's over. It's nothing but a memory now. But when Jesus steps on the scene, and one of the main things that began to stand out to me is that whenever he called on the name of Lazarus, and when he came forth, you see, there is something that God will do. There is some things that God will do when you ask him to do them, but there are some things that we have to do ourselves. There comes a time when God shows up and he answers your prayers. Or amen, you start feeling the Holy Ghost again. But there's one thing that he is not going to do, and that's force himself. He's not going to force the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to move on you. But there is one thing that he will do, is that he'll call on a brother or a sister. And he said, listen, I've called them back to life. I've called them out of that old tomb. And now I want somebody to go take all those grave clothes, to take all that napkin around their mouth so that they can open up their mouth and begin to worship me again. And then all over, I'm going to tell you something. I was sitting back there just a couple services ago, and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost was moving through this place. And I could just begin to look around, and I felt it all over my spirit that people wanted to worship. People wanted to lift their hand. People wanted to run the aisles. People wanted to glorify God. But there is a sickness that is trying to kill the apostolic child of God. But I've come to deliver a message on an old Wednesday night to tell somebody that you ain't too far gone, that God can't step on the scene and call your name out before the throne of heaven and say, come forth. Come forth. People say the days of miracles are over. I bind that lie from the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. People say the day of miracles are over. I'm going to tell you what happened one night on a Wednesday night. Amen. I was sitting in church and a woman come in. She was in a wheelchair. I'll never forget this. Praise God. I'm completely deaf in my left ear. Got a hearing aid in my right. And you know, all my life I'm like, Lord, why won't you touch my body? Why won't you just open up my ears and just let me hear? I've been faithful to you, Lord. Why? I'll never forget, I was sitting in that service on a Wednesday night. And I said, God, I said, I love you, and I know you love me. I said, but God, if you ain't going to heal me, then I want to see you heal somebody else. I was sitting on that pew on a Wednesday night. Amen, nothing hardly was going on. But I can remember that I made my way and I said, Lord, if you ain't gonna do it for me, do it for somebody else. Amen. And there was already a report that had went forth that she would never get out of that wheelchair. She'd never walk again. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Ghost began to sweep through that building. And I began to travail in the Holy Ghost. And when I raised up from where I was praying, I looked over. And she was making her way out of that wheelchair. And she was lifting her hands and beginning to speak and glorify the name of God. Can I tell you that they took that old wheelchair and moved it out by the hall, and she began to dance and leap before the Lord in that service. And it was right then and there I said, Lord, I knew you were a healer. I knew you were a prayer answerer. I knew you've come too late to tell me God ain't still in the healing business. God is wanting somebody. God is wanting anybody, amen, just to listen to the voice of him. Amen. Can I tell you something? Amen. That maybe you might look over and you might see your brother or your sister, and they might be sick in the spirit. Can I tell you something? Amen. You want me to tell you how you take those grave clothes off of them? You begin to hit your knees in prayer and say, Lord, open their mouth. Put a praise in their lips. Put a song of worship in their heart that they can worship you one more time. I remember somebody, God laid it on my heart. I just felt like they were just struggling to a point where they were just giving up. And I remember making my way over to them one night and whispered in their ear, I said, listen, I said, you might not feel like running around this building. I said, but if you'll allow me to, I want to run in your stead. I want to run in your place. You know, in baseball, they have a designated runner. Praise God. I just said, listen, you may not feel like giving God the glory, but if you'll just allow me to make a couple laps around this place in your stead, I know God's about to bless you. On about my second lap around, I looked over, and God was restoring them with the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell somebody something tonight. It's time to get loose in the Holy Ghost. It's time to take the grave clothes off and get loose in the spirit. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes. Take off the napkin from his lips so that he can praise. Amen. That's a lot of problem with the church today. Amen. As God is setting a lot of people free, but people are forgetting to remove the old grave clothes. We've become comfortable wearing the grave clothes. Read the book of Acts. Peter, I believe it's Acts chapter 20. Talks about Peter in prison. Stand with me all across this house tonight. Acts chapter 20 talks about Peter being in the prison. And the Bible talks about an angel of the Lord making his way to where Peter is. The Bible said that he smote him to wake him up. And then the Bible says that the chains fell off. The very next verse of scripture says that the angel of the Lord had to nudge him and tell him to get up. That is the most important thing that we must realize as an apostolic child of God. That whenever we're bound and God sent an angel in to deliver you and to cause those chains to fall off. Our job as a child of God is not to lay there, but it's time to get up. I feel an unctioning in the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night or not, that there's an angel in the Lord that's in this place that's trying to nudge some people in the spirit and say, listen, the chains are already off. The chains are already gone. The chains have already been removed. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. I'm not a carpenter by any means. One of my favorite scriptures, I believe it talks about, is in Isaiah. It talks about the post of the door begin to move at the voice of him that cries. When I think about the structure of a door, you know, you got your header, and then you got your post, your beams, and over time, you put sheetrock on it, and if you'll notice that they carry the load of the wall, they've got a load to carry. And over time, you put sheetrock over them, and you paint them, and everything looks great. And so they've just held up the weight of this wall all of these years. But the Bible says that when the post of the door began to move, I can picture in my mind that if the doorpost would begin to move in this place, that she would eventually see a crack begin to form across this sheetrock. I've come to tell somebody something in the house of God tonight, that there are some doorposts in this place that have been carrying the load for a long time. But I've also come to tell you that it's time to move. God is calling some people out of retirement into refirement. It's not time to give up. It's time to get in. These are some of the greatest days of the moving of the Holy Ghost that we've ever experienced in our life. I believe with my whole heart that it will begin to move. Amen. It will be. It maybe if it's just a lifting of the hand, or maybe if it's just a small, still voice. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. The Bible said that if we hold our peace, then the rocks are going to cry out. I don't know about you, church, but I'm living in a time and in an hour where it's easy to find yourself outside of this house of God. But it's today that there's an angel of the Lord that's been sent to this place that said the chains are gone. It's time to get up and worship the King of Kings. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. You know what that tells me? That he will have a church. Well, there's just not a whole lot of people. You know, the Bible says, when two or three, do you know what that means? That means that there don't have to be three. All it takes is two. Every time we walk into this place, there ought to be a praise in our heart and a worship in our spirit. God, I want to know what's going to happen in this service tonight. It might be a Wednesday night, but I want to see somebody delivered. I want to see the chains fall off of somebody. I want to see somebody revived in the Holy Ghost. This is the month of freedom. And I'm telling you, amen, it don't have to end at the end of July. Praise God, I believe that starting this month, that chains are going to continue to fall off. You know why? Because I believe in a praying church. And when a church begins to pray together, there's going to be some chains fall off. There's going to be some people come back to the house of God. There's going to be some people get restored. Church, I don't know about you. I'm finna close. I don't know about you, but I don't want my walk with God to be just a memory that somebody talks about. I don't want my walk with God just to be a memory. Well, he worshiped every now and then. I'm going to tell you something. We wonder how can we pass this torch on. I'm going to tell you something. I've got some kids of my own. I want them to be able to look at this church, to look at you. Somebody say me. I want my kids to look at y'all and say, man, I want to be able to worship like that brother. I want to be able to worship like that one. Man, I've seen how he prays in the spirit. That's how I want to fashion my prayer life. Man, I see a move of God. That's exactly where I want to be. There's so many things today that are trying to take our time. That our pastor preached about here a while back about distractions. It's so easy to become distracted that we become sick. And eventually it becomes fatal. Church, I don't know about you, but I don't want nobody preaching my spiritual funeral. I want to be a soldier. I want to be one that says you can make it. You can do it. Because I know that when Jesus gets on the scene, it doesn't matter that everybody else in that house thought that Lazarus was dead. Everybody else thought that the story was over. Everybody else thought that the obituary was the end of it. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, he said, there's more to this story. There's a little bit more to this story. There's more worship. There's one more hallelujah. There's one more thank you, Jesus. There's one more dance around the throne. There's one more lap around the sanctuary that I see. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that you better get ready to start taking some grave clothes off of some people that folks have deemed dead and given up hope on because they've been stinking spiritually. Because I've come to tell you tonight that I serve a God that when he walked up to that old tomb, he didn't worry about how bad it stunk. It don't matter where they've been. It don't matter how far that they've been deemed gone. Whenever I call them by their name and I put them under my blood, when they go underneath the water, they take on a brand new identity. I'm 41 years old, and I want this to be one of the greatest years in the apostolic church that I've ever been a part of. All my life, it's been preached about revivals and about how the lost would be coming back. I'm going to tell you, church, there's a lot of prodigal sons out there, amen, that might be trying to rehearse their comeback story. Well, if I just go to him, maybe if I just go to pastor and say, hey, I messed up, or if you'll just let me come back and just be somebody that holds the door open, amen. But I'm trying to tell somebody, if they'll just make their way back to this house, if you'll read the story of the prodigal son, he never got to tell his daddy about his rehearsal story. His daddy simply wrapped his arms around him and said, I've been waiting for a long time for this day. Bring the fatted calf. It's time to celebrate. I want you to look around right now. I'm going to have pastor come take this mic from me. I want you to look around right now. There's an empty seat beside you. Now I know our young people are gone. I want you to begin to pray. I know we got the month of August coming up to pray for that empty spot. God, fill this empty spot. Fill it with somebody. Maybe they might smell like alcohol. Maybe they might have a little hint of cigarette on them. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a God in heaven that can still save. There is a God in heaven that can still redeem. There is a God in heaven that can still sanctify. So, I ask you this tonight. It is time just to get loose. I'm tired of being bound by grave clothes. I'm tired of sitting in a pew and every now and then letting out an amen. I'm going to tell you what I wish would happen. I wish, man, the preaching don't even have to be fire. It don't have to be lit or whatever the word is that they use now. Amen. But I wish somebody would begin to feel that old burning of the Holy Ghost again. And just in the middle of it all, somebody would shout out hallelujah, praise the Lord, and begin to get that old fire of the Holy Ghost stoked back up at United Pentecostal Church of Paris one more time. Do you love the Lord? Clap your hands to him tonight.
Let's give God praise together. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, take somebody by the hand right now. Lift your hand to heaven right now and Let's ask God to help us, God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to move forward in the name of Jesus. To operate, God, in your spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kelso. Did you enjoy that word tonight? Thank God for that tonight. Hallelujah. Something I've learned in my young 39 years of living about God is this, is what he said, but there's something I want to add to that, if I may, that God expects us to be a proactive people. God can promise, God can give, God can send forth his word through a prophetic utterance. But in order for things to happen lots of times in the spirit, there has to be something done on your part. You have to be proactive. And he was preaching, and that verse came to mind when Joshua told Israel, now get it in your heart, that they had already crossed over the Jordan River. They were in Canaan's land, quote unquote. They were in the land of harvest. And Joshua does something very strange. In chapter 24, he says, now I need you to choose today who you're going to serve.
Right.
Now, you have to understand the context here, because victory was theirs, revival was theirs, harvest was theirs, but some of them were still holding on to idols from Egypt.
Oh, come on.
Some of them weren't faithful. They were just walking in the land of blessing. And God said, it ain't just going to be what you, it ain't going to be just milk and honey all the time. Right. Jericho still has to fall. AI still has to be, there's still the giants of Anak. They're still, and that's what he's saying is this, I know you love me, I know you want my blessings, but some of you need to decide, do you want to live in your spirit in Egypt, or do you want to get your spirit and cross the Jordan with me and say revival is going to happen if it's a fight, whatever it takes. I choose today to be loose from guilt, from depression, from shame, from arrogance, from pride. I choose today. You, how do you choose? By being proactive, by doing what he said, staying on your knees, staying close to God, praying through again. That's an old word we don't hear much preached anymore. Pray through again. Let the Holy Ghost move through you. Let him speak through you again. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kelso, for tapping into the vein of the Holy Ghost. We need that on a weekly basis in this church. One more time, thank God for that word tonight. Amen, amen, amen. You know what I love about God, and I'm not preaching, but remember this. God does not require, I get so mad sometimes at people in Pentecost that if a preacher ain't screaming, we ain't been to church. That's so goofy. God is not bound by a decibel level. I've seen folks scream, and I leave plumb mad. Like, wish you wouldn't just scream so much, man. Just talk to me tonight, amen. And I thank God for a word. It ain't going to be an hour and a half preached. I preach way too long sometimes. So God sends a man behind me and says, give him 25 minutes, and I'm just, we'll have a revival with this guy right here, amen. Thank God for a great word. Thank God, amen. We need all matter. If they scream, if they talk to us, all is good. Amen. God bless you for being in service tonight. We love and appreciate you. Everybody said Sunday. I mean, Sunday's going to be a great day. I mean, God's going to move here in a very special way, and looking forward to what God's going to say. And if you've not signed up for the luncheon, please do so tonight. I mean, it supports our Outreach Alliance. I haven't really talked about this much. I'll talk more about it in the future. But Outreach Alliance is simply anyone who's a volunteer. Amen. So it supports any endeavor our church tries to do to reach inside of our house, to get things to do around here, or for reaching out to our community, whatever it is. This is a great thing. If you don't want to go, that's fine. Just give some money. Hey, yeah, man, amen. Just give them a $20 bill, $10 bill, whatever you want to give. God will bless you for that, amen. But if you want to go, please go up, sign up tonight, and we'll see you back here Sunday, Lord willing. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We love and appreciate you. Great word.